Well, last Sunday, we started to look at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus starts off with 8 statements that all begin with the word blessed. This word blessed or blessed is literally means to be happy. And we looked at that last week, but it's not happiness in the superficial sense where everything is pleasant and comfy and you have, you know, the warm fuzzies because, oh, you're well fed and you're comfortable and happy and everything's good and you know, it's happy, happy, happy. Rather, this is about a deep inner sense of well-being that is irrespective of your circumstances that you might find yourself in. And these 8 Beatitudes are not talking about 8 different kinds of people. You know, one who is poor in spirit, and another who is mourning, and another who is meek, and on it goes. But rather, it's speaking of 8 different qualities that need to be true in each one of us. Excuse me. If we're going to know the kind of happiness and contentment that comes from God, there is a progression. It begins with the first beatitude, which is being poor in spirit. And then building on to that is the second that we're going to be looking at today, those who mourn. And then you build on the third and the fourth. And as we saw last week, being poor in spirit is realizing we do not have what it takes in ourselves to be happy. And when a person faces the spiritual condition they are in, and they come and they discover Jesus, and they discover him, you find out all the riches of the kingdom of heaven are ours in Christ. This was the first element that we looked at last week, that blessed are the poor in spirit. When you realize you don't have it, you're poverty-stricken spiritually wise, you need Jesus. And when you come to find Jesus, you find that you're given all the riches of heaven. So that was the first. Now, the second element is when you're confronted with your poverty of spirit, you can do one of several things. You can hide it. You can pretend it's not that way and you just kind of cover it up. Or you can face your poverty of spirit honestly and mourn your condition. And that leads us to this second beatitude. Let me read them to us from Matthew chapter 5. I'm just going to read verses 3 and 4. The first beatitude was, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's verse 3. And verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, when Jesus talks about mourning here, he's not talking about death or funerals, but rather he's linking this statement to what he has just said. So when you understand and you recognize your poverty of spirit, you are to mourn that poverty, which is actually what we call repentance. And I want to look at repentance from a different perspective this morning. We normally talk about repentance and think of it in terms of what we have done wrong. And there is a place for that. But true repentance is actually deeper than just being sorry for what you have done wrong. It is recognizing who and what you are. And it's mourning what you are. You see, our problem is not so much what we do. We often think that's what our problem is what we do. But actually our problem is who we are. What we do is simply the fruit of what we are. You are not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner by nature. Now, let me try to illustrate that to you so that we can maybe understand what I'm trying to say here. At our home, we have a pear tree in the backyard. And the pear tree is not a pear tree because pears grow on it. Pears grow on it because it is a pear tree. Now, you might think, you're just saying the same thing, only what? I mean, it's just making confusion here. Well, you know, I didn't go out this last spring when the tree was in blossom and wonder, is that tree going to produce oranges this year? Our prayer tree always grows pears. That is what it is. It will never grow oranges or apples or kiwi. It is a pear tree by nature, and all it will ever grow is pears. Now, I didn't plant this tree. It was there when we moved into our house. But this past spring, I did plant two other fruit trees. One was a Gravenstein apple, and the other was an Italian plum. Now, I don't say that because I'm a prophet, and all of a sudden are prophesying, that's what you're going to be. No, the seeds or the graft that produced those trees, one came from a Gravenstein apple, and the other came from Italian plum. That's what the tag said. And that's what I wanted. And that's what I bought. These trees are only capable of producing the kind of fruit that the tree is. Now, in the same way, you and I are born in a state of separation from God because we have a sin nature. And therefore, we inevitably sin. It's not that we commit sin that makes us a sinner. It's that we are sinners by nature that causes us to commit sin. Therefore, it's not so much what I do that is the real problem. It is what I am. It's who we are. The reason why it's so easy to do what's wrong is because we have that corrupt, sinful nature. You know, you look at a little baby and they're so cute and innocent looking when they're first born, but very quickly they display the same nature as their parents. We've just been with our little 3-year-old granddaughter for a few days, and it's been great to be with her and see her. But you know, she's starting to take on a lot of attributes from her parents too. When she's first born, it's just this cute little bundle. But now all of a sudden she starts not getting her way. And boy, you see a whole different side of her. And we saw that displayed just this last couple of days. And then she can get whiny and cranky and all this kind of stuff when she doesn't get what she wants. And we must understand the biblical diagnosis of who we are, or we'll never understand ourselves or our behavior or how the Christian life was designed to operate. We must accept the verdict about ourselves. You know, in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20, we read there, this is after the flood. Noah's built the ark. They've been in the ark. The flood's happened. The waters are now receding. Noah comes out of the ark, and it says in verse 20 of Genesis chapter 8, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, taking some of all of the clean animals and clean birds, and he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelt the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I cause the ground to be the ground. Never again will I curse the ground because of man. Now listen to this. This is what God said. Even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. That is God's verdict on human life. Every inclination of their heart is evil from childhood. That's not just someone else saying it. That's what God says. That's his verdict on humanity. You read in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Who can understand what goes on in a person's inner being and in their heart and in their mind? Do you even understand yourself? You know, there's stuff that you deal with and you think, where in the world does that come from? Now, what happens is we learn to be respectful and respectable and conform to our social environment and live within the boundaries that are around us. But you know, when the opportunity presents itself, when we think we can get away with it, the heart reveals its true self. Let me throw out a couple of examples. As we know, we've got real bad fires right now in the States, but earlier on in the summer, we had bad fires in British Columbia. And people had to be evacuated from their homes at the last minute. They leave everything, they leave their home, they have minutes to get out. And then what do we find out happens? There's all of a sudden people see an opportunity to go and take advantage and start to loot people's homes and take things because the opportunity's there and I can get away with it now, they think, and they go ahead and they do it. Or another example, just from this summer, on the Black Lives Matter demonstrations, you know, they've happened all over the world, of people that are rising up against injustice, against other races and things like that. And people who got involved in these kind of demonstrations, they never had the intention, many of them, to begin with, to riot or loot or to destroy people's property. But all of a sudden, something changes and they get caught up in an opportunity, and look what quickly happened all over the world. The looting, the riots, the property that was destroyed. And then you hear something interesting out of these people's lives. That you hear tearful confessions. I don't know what came over me. That's not who I am. You know, that's not what the Bible says. Sorry, that is who you are. And given the opportunity, the real you will come out. And the moment that the right opportunity presents itself, what comes out of people's heart is evil and destruction. This is true of me. It's true of each one of us. We have hearts that are corrupt, and in the right environment, and when the normal restraints are not there, our corrupt hearts will quickly take over. And if you don't know and understand this, you'll continually be shocked by the attitude and the appetite of your own heart. This natural nature of ours, it remains corrupt throughout our whole life. And it's why we must face our poverty of spirit and all the implications of that, and we are to mourn our poverty of spirit. And it's not just being sorry for the things I've done wrong, and you know, I need to change my attitude as to who I am. Repentance is the attitude of turning from myself and from my own resources and understanding what I am, and I turn to God and His resources for help and healing. I am poverty-stricken spiritually. I can't fix it. That's who I am. And I need God's help. I am a sinner, and that sin nature must continually be dealt with. And when you face your poverty of spirit with honesty, and you mourn that condition, which is to adopt the attitude of repentance, and repentance is the attitude of turning away from independence from God to living in dependence on God. It is turning from operating in my strength to operating in God's strength. It is turning from living life my way to living life God's way. It's turning from calling sin by some fancy little name like, you know, I don't know what, but we just try to slough it off, to calling it what God calls it and rejecting it. This is what repentance is. It is an attitude. It is the disposition of the heart. And if you don't know that, what you will do is you'll come and you confess your same sins over and over and over again, and you'll turn around and you do the same thing all over again, and you'll wonder why. You see, when I pick pears off my pear tree, and I just, a few days ago, stripped it clean, picked them all off because they're starting to fall, and once pears start to fall, you strip the tree clean. You know what that tree does? It grows more pears. That's what it is. It's a pear tree. I take off the pears and it grows more pears. Confessing your sin is important and necessary, but if that's all you do, that and if that's your only understanding, you'll find yourself committing the same sin over and over and over again. And you need to recognize it is the heart that is at the issue. Repentance is not just a quick fix where I list off the things I've done wrong and that's it, I'm fine now. There might be an initial point of repentance, of confessing things, and that's important to do, but we must also live in a spirit of repentance where we are continually turning from our old natural self to the Spirit of God. So we are to recognize our poverty, and we're to mourn that poverty of spirit, and when we do, you know what happens? Well, in verse 4, this is what happens out of our text. It says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Now, isn't that interesting? When we mourn because of the state of our heart, we will be comforted. Comforted by who? Well, by the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the antidote to our poverty of spirit and the corruptness of our own heart is the Holy Spirit, who comes to indwell us and live within those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is at this point of mourning that our personal heart condition, that the Holy Spirit gets into action in our lives and brings comfort. And the Holy Spirit's task is to replace my poverty with what? The riches of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's task is to replace my weakness with the strength of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's task is to replace my defeat with the victory of Jesus Christ. You see, it's not about what I do for Jesus. It's all about what I let Jesus do for me and in me and through me. And whenever God exposes our failure to our sin, you know, it's never to humiliate us. It's never to embarrass us. It's never to condemn us or rub our nose in it. It's always for having recognized our poverty of spirit, that he might then place in us his own presence. You know, this is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And he says there, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, the secret of a changed life is discovering that it is an exchanged life. I give my life to Jesus in all of its weakness and poverty, and Jesus gives his life to me in all its richness and power. And we live in the power of God's indwelling spirit. And the reason we mourn our poverty is because we do not have what it takes to live a godly life. So where do we turn? We turn to Jesus and the Comforter. And every day we live in a spirit of repentance and trust. Those two things go together, repentance and trust. You know, repentance is recognizing I can't. I'm turning away from my own resources. I can't live the Christian life. I am not spiritual. And trust is saying God can, and I'm trusting in his resources as his Spirit lives in me. Now, in and of yourselves, you'll probably always feel inadequate. You'll probably always feel poor and totally unworthy and not very spiritual. And that's good, because then you trust in God. There will be battles and temptations and struggles in your mind, and the Spirit of God will be in conflict with your sinful nature. Because God is there and working in you, and there's stuff that, oh man, you go, where in the world did that come from? Well, it came out of my sinful nature. It came out of my heart. And there's this constant battle that takes place. And God's purpose is not that we reform and Christianize the old nature, but rather that we crucify the old nature, and that it's not me, but Christ who lives in me. And this means no matter who you are, no matter what your background, you recognize your frailty and weakness. I am poverty stricken, but I recognize God's sufficiency. And I trust Jesus. You know, in writing to the Corinthians, Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. He says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, we're being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." With ever-increasing glory. I'm not just zap, boom, super spiritual. No. Justification, we're justified the moment we receive Christ. But sanctification takes a whole lifetime process of becoming more and more into the image of Jesus. I'm transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see, we are poor in spirit, and we are to mourn our condition. That is what I am. I am poor in spirit. I am poverty-stricken. And Jesus comes and comforts us and provides for us all the riches of the kingdom of heaven that are ours in him. See, it's not you, it's not me, it's Jesus Christ. And at that moment you say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus." We're poverty stricken. And as we see that and we mourn our poverty and we trust Christ, we receive his riches. It's not you, it's not me, it's Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we get everything so backwards. I think I'm all right. I think I can do it. I don't think I need you at times. And who do I think I am? Oh Lord, may each of us see our poverty of spirit and recognize we are sinners. We are born with a sinful nature. That's what we produce. I can't produce anything else. But it's only as you come and you exchange what we are for who you are, and our lives are transformed. Lord, nothing by anything that we have done. It's not me, it's you. And thank you, Jesus. Oh, may we remember that each moment of each day. It's not me, it's you. And may you be glorified in and through our lives, we pray. In your most worthy and precious name, amen.